puppy. It's going online.
Right, okay. Okay, so we're looking at a mimer. Are you able to look in, or do you want to come and move your chair over here?
Can you see it?
Yeah. So we're looking at the mimer. Move the chair first. Which is in the Dvar Malchus of this week, which is for Shabbos Parshas Akev, Kof Menachem Av. This Shabbos is going to be Kof Menachem Av. And the Maimer that we're learning this week is from Tov Shin Yud Zayin, 5717, which is which year?
Now
we're Tov Shin Ayin Aleph. What year was... What English year is 5717? You have to add 240. So 240, Tov Shin is 7. 400 and Shin is 300, that makes 7. Yud Zayin is
17.
So 240 plus 717 is what?
157.
Look, we have to add 240. So 717. So 200 to 700 is 9.
Yeah.
And then 17 plus 40, yeah. 14 and 17 is
57.
That's right, so it was 1957. That's how you work it out. So this was 1957. So 1957, and it's not Muga by the Rebbe, it's not checked. You want to come pull up a chair? So the Maimah begins Vayancho V'yarivecho. Now that's a posuk in this parsha. Let's just see what the posuk actually says. It's Perik Ches Posuk Gimel. We'll just check that out. Perik Ches Posuk Gimel. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people that you should remember the whole way which Hashem led you for 40 years in the desert in order to test you. Anoischa means to afflict you, literally, but it's like testing you to know what's in your heart, whether you'll keep Hashem's mitzvahs or not. Ve'yancha. Now, ve'yancha means that he afflicted you. He made you hungry because there wasn't food at the beginning. And then, ve'yachilcha es amon. He fed you the mon, which you didn't know before, and which your ancestors before you didn't know. In order to let you know that a person doesn't live just by eating bread. A person lives by whatever Hashem wants. Okay. So now begins the Maimah. Who knows the Maimah Nigan? The niggun that was sung when the Rebbe would say a maimer. Do you know what the niggun was, Jenna?
The Rebbe Rashab.
You're right. It is the Rebbe Rashab singing. It's called the niggun mirastov. But do you know what it sounds like?
Yeah.
No, but I know one part of the Nigan. I remember one part. Yeah. Something in there. Yeah, 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 yeah. Or is it? No, that's the Nigan, I think. What? Oh, ya, yam, ba, ya, ya, yam, boom. Ha, yida, yida, yo, yam, boom. Ayam bam ba yam ba yam bam boom. Ha yadam ba ya yadam ba yom ba ho ya yadam ba ya ya yo ya yadam ba yam ba yom. Ha yadam ba ha yadam ba ho yam ba yam ba yadam bam. Ha ya yam ba yadam bam. Ho ya ya ho ya ya ho. And while the niggun was being sung, everyone would be standing up. They would get up in the Fabrengen, because when the Rebbe said a maimer, everyone stood up. And the Rebbe would be, sometimes he would like wrap a handkerchief around his finger in some way, which I never had the schus to see, but other people told me. And then the Rebbe will begin the maimon. Vayan chovayiribecho, vayaribecho, vayachilches amon. Have you got the place? Right? So he made you, he afflicted you, Hashem afflicted you. This is from the pasuk. And he made you hungry, vayachilches amon, and he made you eat the mon. He gave you the mon to eat. Asher lo yadaito, which you never knew before, such a thing that bread, food should come from Shemayim, and you just pick it up on the ground. And your ancestors didn't know. No one ever knew such a thing before as eating mon. The Itzad B'Midrash, now the Midrash tells us, B'nei Tur Omnin Heim, that the Yidden were very argumentative. Not only the Yidden in the Midbar. In general, they were very argumentative. Are you argumentative, Nechama? No. They were very argumentative. Adam Arishan, for example, Adam the first man. Acha kol ha-shevach she'asisi imoy. After all the good things I did for him, the Rebbe puts in brackets, what were the good things I did for him? For example, lasos lo'ezer. I gave him chava to help him. Shnema esa lo'ezer kenegdoi. So Hashem did a wonderful favor for Adam Arishan. He gave him the most wonderful wife in the world. Chava, the first woman, Eve, Adam and Eve. So Adam was given Eve. What did he say? Hu mitzrayim lefonai. Adam began complaining before Hashem, and when Hashem asked him, why did you eat from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree of knowledge, what did Adam say? What did Adam say? Yes, he blamed Chava, he blamed Eve. He said, the woman that you gave me, it's her fault. In other words, you know, Rashi, on that point, Rashi says in the Chumash Bereshit, he says, Kan kofui toiva. Here he was ungrateful. He was ungrateful. Hashem did a wonderful favor to him, gave him a wonderful thing, gave him Chava, gave him Eve, and instead of being very grateful, he was ungrateful. Af Yaakov came. Similarly, Yaakov Avinu. Jacob. Now this comes in a very, very strange way, very surprising way, the way that the Maimah puts it, and which comes from the Midrash. The way the Midrash puts it, this Midrash is, can you see which Midrash this is? It's footnote 2. Can you see what Midrash that is, footnote 2? Eicho Rabba, that's right. It's Eicho Rabba on that posuk, Al Ha Posuk, Gimel Lamates. Re'e Gam Yalkut Shimoini. And see also another midrash, Yalkut Shimoini. So Yalkut Shimoini is a big collection of midrash which has lots of different midrashim in it. Very useful, safer to have. You want a bas mitzvah present, ask for Yalkut Shimoini. Because then you've got all different midrashim there. And Eicho Rabba is one of the Midrash Rabba sequence where you've got the Chumash and the five Megillahs. So there's Bereshis Rabba, Shmois Rabba, Vayikra Rabba, and so on. And also Eicho, Koheles, and Ruth, and Megillah Esther, and so on, all the five Megillahs. Now, so the Midrash puts it in a very strange way. So we understand with Yaakov, with Adam Arishan, with Adam, we understand that we can consider him complaining and ungrateful because he complained about Chava, about his wife Eve, which was really such a wonderful present to him from Hashem, and instead of being grateful, he blamed her for the problem that happened with the Eitz Hadas. With Yaakov, it's not so easy. Af Yaakov came, the Midrash says, Yaakov also, Jacob was also a complainer. Ani oisek lahamliches benoi b'mitzrayim, God says, Hashem says, I am busy crowning his king, making his son king, making his son a leader in Mitzrayim. Shnema v'yosef hu ha-shalit. In other words, making Yosef into an important person. V'hu Mitzrayim v'oyme nistero daki me'Hashem. And he is complaining. He's saying, "Oi, where is my son? I'm so upset. Why has my son disappeared? How could this be?" Now, you would think it's absolutely normal for Yaakov Avinu to feel very upset that Yosef has disappeared, right? That's normal. But nonetheless, the Midrash says, you know what? He's complaining. Because the whole point of Yosef disappearing was in order that he should become a great leader in Mitzrayim. And if he's a great leader in Mitzrayim, then he's going to be able to help many people, including Yaakov Avinu himself, Jacob himself, and the whole family of Yaakov. But nonetheless, the Midrash puts this as a point of complaining. So it shows us that even when things really seem to be very seriously wrong, as it was when Yosef had disappeared and Yaakov didn't know where he was, Joseph had disappeared and Jacob didn't know where he was, still he's called a complainer because he was complaining to Hashem, because really Hashem was organizing that this was going to be a very big hatzalah, this was going to save everyone, this was going to be something very positive. V'av Bonov came, and similarly the children of Yaakov, that means the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people in the desert. Hashem says in the Midrash, Hashem says, I am busy trying to organize for them easy food. You couldn't imagine anything more easy than the man. Every morning you go out from your tent and you go for a nice little walk, and there you find the man on the ground and you gather it and you bring it home. And some people didn't even have to cook it. It was delicious as it was. Other people had to cook it in some way. But you couldn't imagine anything easier than that. V'heim Mitzrayim lefanai, and they were complaining before me, v'omrim, and they say, v'nafsheinu kotzo b'alechem akoloikel, they said in Parshas Chukos, our soul is sick of this horrible food. Now, do you think they were ungrateful when they said that?
Yeah.
Sterny, what do you think? Yeah, they were. They were ungrateful. That the pshat of the pasuk, the simple pshat of the pasuk, is that they were ungrateful. So here we see cases of the Bnei Yisrael, of the Jewish people, being ungrateful. So they're saying this. So then the Midrash goes on and says, Av Tzion came he. Tzion, that means the Jewish people, Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, the essence of the whole of the Jewish people. Cain, he, it says the same thing. Vatoim et Tzion, azovani Hashem. Tzion, the Jewish people say, Hashem has left me. Va'adoshem, see, there's two names of Hashem used here. One is Yudke Bavke. Tzion, azovani. Vatoim et Tzion. Tzion says, Azovani Yudke Bavke, Hashem has left me, forsaken me. Do you know the word forsaken me? That means left me. So that's Yudke Bavke, has forsaken me. And Aleph Dalud Nun Yud, that's another name for Hashem, Shecheichoni. What does that mean?
A neighbor.
Shochein is a neighbor. Shochen Tov, a good neighbor, but what is Shin Kof Ches? Shochach. Yes. And they said, Va'alev Dalet Nun Yud, Hashem has forgotten me. So that's what they're complaining. We're in Golos, and we're complaining, and we're saying that Hashem has forsaken us, Chas V'Sholom, and that Aleph Dalet Nun Yod, which is another name for Hashem, has forgotten us. What complainers you are, says the Midrash. How could you make such a complaint? Alright, so that's the Midrash. Now the point is, you have the Chumash, and you have the Halacha. The Halacha tells us what to do, and it's the explanation of what the Chumash has a lot of dinim from Hashem, a lot of laws from Har Sinai, what we're supposed to do, like keeping Shabbos. And the Halacha explains to us, where do we learn the Halacha? Which book do we look in to learn Halacha? Shulchan Aruch, excellent. Yes, we look in the code of law, the Shulchan Aruch. Who wrote the code of law? Who wrote Shulchan Aruch? The Alter Rebbe wrote a more recent version of the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote that around 1770. Who wrote the first book called the Shulchan Aruch, which was 200 years earlier?
Arizal.
It was in the time of the Arizal, and it was a friend and Talmud of the Arizal, partly a Talmud. No, the Rambam lived even earlier. He wrote another book of Halacha. Rabbi Akiva lived even earlier. Rabbi Akiva is in the Mishnah. So we got Rabbi Akiva, who's a long time ago, he's in the Mishnah. And then we got the Rambam, who wrote a book which has all the halachas of the Torah. What's that book called? The Rambam. We call it the Rambam, but what's the actual name of the book? Sefer Mitzvot is the introduction to it. And what's the main part of the book?
Mishnah
Torah. Right, so he wrote Mishnah Torah. That's around the year 1200.
I think he also wrote Hayom Yom.
The Hayom Yom was written by the Rebbe, taking quotations from the writings of the Friedrich Rebbe. And Hayom Yom was printed in Tovshin Gimel, 5703, which is 1943. Right, so that's when Hayom Yom was printed, first printed. But so we're going back to the idea of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, and he was in the time of the Arizal, around 1550, and about 200 years later, the Alter Rebbe wrote another edition, as it were, of the Shulchan Aruch. And then later on, people wrote other commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, like the Mishnah Brura, or the Aruch HaShulchan, which is a kind of another edition of the Shulchan Aruch. So they're all different ways of writing down halacha. So you've got the Chumash on the one hand, you've got the halacha on the other. So the halacha tells you what you have to do. But what tells you what you should be thinking when you're doing it? What is it that teaches us how a person should be inspired when they learn Torah, when they do mitzvah? Chassidus. Right, and so then you have all the Sfarim before Chassidus. So what kind of Sefer? Chassidus began with the Baal Shem Tov. What happened before the Baal Shem Tov? What book would a person learn in order to feel inspired about learning Torah and about doing mitzvah and about being a Jew in the world? What book would they learn? Well, you see, that's the thing. Shulchan Aruch is telling you what to do. But what sefer, what book would tell you why it's very important to keep the laws in the Shulchan Aruch? Has this gone off? What sefer would tell you that? Can anyone say? Well, I tell you, in the Gemara is the basis of the halacha, but the Gemara is also the basis of Agada. So in the Gemara, there are a lot of explanations of psukim and sayings of the Chachomim and the sages, which give you the enthusiasm and excitement about learning Torah. So that is, so the Agadita, the stories in the Gemara, are a part of Torah which helps a person feel inspired about keeping Torah and mitzvahs, learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs. And Midrash is similar to the stories in the Gemara. So you got the Agadita in the Gemara, the stories in the Gemara, and you got Midrash, and all that is helping a person understand the real meaning of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism. Right. So now we're on line 11. Can you see line 11 in the Dvar Malchus? Vehine, that's right. Absolutely right. Now the word vehine, what is being introduced here is the discussion by the Rebbe of the Midrash. Vehine, behold, midivrei Midrash shemedama inin, from the words of the Midrash, which compares the idea of Vatoyma Tzion Azovani Hashem, the idea that Tzion says, the Jewish people say, Hashem has forsaken me. Va Hashem Shechoni, and another word for Hashem has forgotten me. And it compares this l'shayin yonim shechoshiv lifnei zeh to the other things which previously move on. We can understand shegama inyan da'zavani Hashem v'Hashem shechoni, these two ideas, hashi'a, the idea that God has forsaken me, God forbid, and the idea that Hashem has forgotten me, God forbid. Hu be'emes inyan shel toiva, it's actually something good. The whole idea of us being in Golos is really a preparation for something tremendously good, a preparation for the coming of Mashiach, which will be ecstatically good. And so therefore, the idea that the absence, the apparent absence of Hashem, of the Giluim, of the revelations of Hashem, this is all, although really there are revelations of Hashem all the time anyway, and if you look properly, you're able to see them. So that is actually an inyan of toivah. It's a good inyan. Peshayin yonim shechoshiv shom, like all the other things the Midrash put in the list, shehem l'toivah, which are really for good. Ukumoy b'mon, like the mon, like the manna in the food of the Jewish people, which is what the pasuk in the Chumash is actually about. It's about the mon. Shakodesh baruch hu nosem lem lechem kal. Hashem gave the Jewish people an easy kind of food to eat. But they complain. And they say, we're fed up with this food. We're sick of it. And they ask for all kinds of other things. Similarly, is in this pasuk that Tzion says, Hashem has forsaken me. Vahashem shechoni, and Hashem has forgotten me. Shaziva v'shechecho, this being forsaken and this being forgotten, zu shehila shakala, is actually only for a short time. Yesh b'mayle gedoyle, it's actually got something very positive in it. Vahalzei atayne v'atviya milamayle, and that's why Hashem is complaining to us, or criticizing in the Midrash, she Yisrael tur omenin heim, that the Jewish people are complainers. Don't be a complainer. Any of you complainers? No. You're not a complainer, are you? No, you don't complain.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. Everyone.
That my blanket fell off.
Oh, I see. Okay. Who did you complain to? Hashem.
Nobody. I complain to myself.
To who?
Myself.
Oh, you complain to yourself.
Was that yours?
Yeah.
I think I just knocked down a zizza.
Okay, we're on line 19. It's what's the first two words of the line 19? Maila gadoila. What does maila gadoila mean?
Maila.
A big maila, yeah, a very positive thing, a very good thing. Valzehi atayne v'atviya mele maila, and this is the complaint from Hashem, she Yisrael turomen in hain, that the Jewish people are complainers. She einim toiv sim pnimius in yonim. They don't realize what the pnimius is all about, what the inward concept is. The inward concept of Godus is Geula. And if we realized that, we would be tremendously happy all the time. We would know that Geula is just here on the threshold, and we would know that the Geula is there inside the Golos. But if we don't know that, then we complain. So the idea is that Sha'aziva v'shichachazu, this apparent being forsaken by Hashem, this apparent being forgotten by Hashem, yesh b'mayla, is actually something very positive. Now we'll understand this through what it says in another midrash, which is in Yalkut. Remember, I mentioned what is Yalkut Shimoni, this collection of midrashim, which in fact it's the same one in Ha'ara 2, in footnote 2, Yalkut Shimoni on Bamidbar, and it gives what the reference is there. Av Tzion Kacha Osoli. Says there in the Yalkut, it's like similar to what it said in the other midrash, Nechu Rabbo. Tzion did the same thing to me. Ani osikimo lahavis hamalchius min ha'olam. I am working with Tzion in order to remove the negative kingdoms from the world. V'lo yichva hevati bovel modai v'yovan b'smiya. Haven't I already made Babylon the Medes. There's the Babylonians, the Medes, and the Greeks. These were three powers that ruled over the Jewish people. All these three powers, if you want to know anything about them, you have to go into a museum and you look at the ancient Babylonians or the Medes or the ancient Greeks. Like the British Museum is full of all kinds of statues and things from ancient Greece. These are ancient powers. And now those powers don't have any strength, they're just in museums. Osidani lahavi malchus rabbis, and Hashem says in the Midrash, in the Yalkut, I will also remove the fourth power, which is the current power of the world, and that power is going to be transformed. It's going to be a power that instead of being something which is only trying to get things for itself, it is going to be concerned, what is it going to be concerned with? What will people in the world, general people in the world, be concerned about doing when Mashiach comes? What kind of mitzvahs? Yeah, but what? We're talking about Chinese people, Japanese people. What are they going to be? What kind of mitzvahs? The Sheva mitzvahs, B'nai Nach, the seven Noachai laws. That's what people are going to be occupied in. That's what they're going to be interested in. Yes. So they're going to be learning and keeping the seven Noachai laws, the Sheva mitzvahs, B'nai Nach. Why should they want to? Because they know that that's what Hashem wants them to do.
What if they don't want to?
What if they don't want to? The point about it being the time of Mashiach is that they will want to. Everyone will be transformed. Everyone will see. The world will be full of knowledge of Hashem, and everyone will realize that's the best way to live.
And some kind will even become gay.
Well, in the time of Mashiach, people won't become gayrim anymore. People can become gayrim, can become proselytes to Judaism before the time of Mashiach. Once it's the time of Mashiach, then they can't anymore become gayrim. But they can keep the Sheva Mitzvahs, so they know if they can keep the seven Noachai laws. So in other words, Hashem says, I am working on this project to transform the fourth power. Now the fourth power is generally called Rome. So there's Babylon, Media, the Medes, the Greeks, and the Romans. And the Rome, we say that the power of Rome continues to this very day. And so America, Europe, all these different powers, they are all included in the power of Rome. So Hashem says, I'm working on transforming the power of Rome, making it recognize Hashem, godliness, the seven Noachai laws, v'him islam islafonai. And the Jewish people are complaining, and they're complaining that Hashem has left me behind and Hashem has forgotten me. That means that the real purpose of this final galus, of this final exile, is in order to remove the fourth kingdom, to transform it. And that's the goodness which is hidden in the fact that Hashem appears to have forsaken us and forgotten us. Okay? That's the end of the first parak, and we're now up to Sif Beis, which is on page 10. Yeah, can you find that? Right, excellent. Yeah, you have to. Do you want to help her click the page down?
I got it.
You got it. How long are we doing all together? You can do as long as you like. And we'll see how long it goes. When you get tired, you can leave and you can go and do something else. Alright? Okay. Base. Or Lahovin Zen, to understand this, we gam Lahovin Kate Fla Loshan Bazi Vibh. What? Does the second ois continue the first?
Yeah.
Yes. The second paragraph continues the first one. To understand this, now the Rebbe wants us to understand, what does it mean that Hashem leaves us, that we think Hashem has left us behind and that Hashem has forgotten us? It seems that really these are two the same thing. It says in the Gemara that something which is left behind and something which is forgotten is the same thing. Why did you leave your bag behind? Oh, I forgot it. It's the same thing, right? I forgot it. I left it behind. It's the same thing. Acheinian who, but according to Chassidus, there's another level. We find a similar thing in a pasuk in the Chumash.
It's your washing stand, the other one, the washing.
Acheinian who, but the thing is, dehine metzino al derech zeh b'pasuk. We find a similar thing about not remembering in a pasuk. V'loy zochah sa hamashkin, the butler did not remember someone, vayishkacheu, and he forgot him. Who is it that he did not remember and he forgot?
The baker. The baker.
He didn't remember the baker. No.
In the prison.
There was the butler and the baker in prison. So there's someone who he didn't remember and he forgot. What's the story? Do you remember?
It's Yosef.
Yosef. Yes. The butler didn't remember Yosef and he forgot him. Not only didn't he remember him, but he forgot him. You would think that not remembering and forgetting are the same thing. But that's exactly what the pasuk says. The butler didn't remember Yosef and he forgot him. The hiksha b'zoya, the holy zoya, asks the question. Shelochoyda harizek kefel loshoin. It's saying the same thing twice. The ma'achas shoma v'loy zocha. Since it says he didn't remember him, lo matorich lo ma'oy v'yishkechei. Why does it have to tell us that he forgot him? V'oylem atidut shom. And what comes out of the explanation of the zoya there? Now the zoya might have a very long explanation. The Rebbe is saying what comes out of that explanation is Shaloi Zocha Zeu Heda Zikoron Aldova Mitzad Atzmoi. Not remembering is that you don't remember a thing because of yourself. You got a bad memory, so you didn't remember it. Umar Shekosov Yishkacheu, and the fact that it also says he forgot him, he forgetting is that in addition to not remembering the thing because of oneself, there's another dimension. There is an actual force of forgetfulness because of something else which causes you to forget. Like it says in another pasuk, the poor man drinks and he forgets his poverty. It's not just that he forgets that he's poor because he's got a bad memory. He drinks. There is something which makes him forget that he's poor because that is, he gets drunk, and getting drunk is something which causes him to forget. The fact that the person drinks wine makes him forget. So in other words, there's two things. There's forgetting in a normal way, and there's doing something or something happening which makes you forget in an extra way. So there's ordinary forgetting and there is extra forgetting. Have you got that idea?
Yeah.
There's ordinary forgetting and extra forgetting. Like, for example, if someone forgets to take their bag and put it in the car. So that is ordinary forgetting. But if someone, chas v'shalom, would hide the bag under the bed, then that's an extra dimension why they forgot their bag. Right? So that someone is doing something extra to stop them remembering their bag. So it's the same over here. So the Rebbe explains, that's the way we can understand that when it says in the pasuk that Hashem forsook us, he left us, so to speak, or it seems like that. And the idea that Hashem forgot us, chas v'shalom, shazivu inyan heda zikonim bilvat, that when Hashem leaves us, it's just that a lack of memory. V'shichcha haynu shemulvat heda zikonim, and forgetting is that apart from the lack of memory, mitzad atzmo in itself, yesh gam inyan shal shichcha mitzad dover acher, there is another thing causing forgetfulness, shegoyim ha-shichcha, which causes forgetfulness, heipuch ha-zikonim, the opposite of memory. Of course, you got to ask the question, the obvious question, how can Hashem forget anything anyway? Hashem remembers everything. Hashem sees everything. And Hashem would know exactly what is happening all the time, everywhere in the whole universe. But that's something that the Maimon is going to talk about as well later on, how we can talk about the idea of forgetting. But as a moshel, just as a moshel, We talk about Hashem, just as a mashal, we talk about Hashem being, so to speak, forgetting us or not thinking of us. And so that is a mashal that that we use about Hashem forsaking us, leaving us behind, forgetting us. It's all a mashal, because really Hashem is very close with us all the time. However, that mashal is because of the bad things happening to the Jewish people. So they say, oh, Hashem has left me, Hashem has forgotten. Line 18. V'tzorich on page 10. You got it? Line 18. What's the first word of the line? That's right. Then you got it, Shteni, right. V'tzorich lahavi, now we have to understand. That's exactly what the Rebbe speaks about. How can you possibly speak about, regarding Hashem, the idea of Hashem not remembering or forgetting? There's a pasuk which says exactly the opposite. Ein shichacha lifnei. It's not exactly a pasuk. It's a statement in the Gemara, which is quoted in the davening. Ein shichacha lifnei chisei kvoidecha. There is no forgetfulness before the throne of your glory. Which davening do we say this in? Do we say it in the ordinary daily davening?
Shabbos.
No.
What thing?
This. We say, Hashem, there's no such thing as forgetfulness before your throne of glory. And that comes from the Gemara. It's not a pasuk. It's from the Gemara, and it's in the davening. Now, which part of the davening is it in? Yom Tov. Which Yom Tov? Rosh Hashanah. Quite right. Now, there's a very easy way to check that. If you look in footnote 16, what does it say in footnote 16?
Brachas
Shom. That means it's the same page of Masechta Brachas in the Talmud that was quoted before, which is a little bit earlier on. It quoted from Brachas. And then it says, Tfilas.
Tfilas Masef.
Right, so it's in the Musaf davening of Rosh Hashanah and other places as well. So that means if it says in the davening that there isn't any forgetfulness before Hashem's throne of glory, how can we possibly talk about Hashem forgetting? How can there be a pasuk which says Hashem has forgotten the Yidden? Uchamayma hakol golu v'yadua lefenecho. There's another saying which is also in Musaf. Everything is revealed and known before you, Hashem. Ato zoichem ma'aseh olam. You remember everything that anyone ever did in the world. So these are all things we say in the davening. So if Hashem remembers and Hashem never forgets, how can there possibly be this idea of Hashem forgetting? V'im kein ma'ini anaziv v'ashichicho. So how can you talk about Hashem forgetting and leaving us? Achayinian hu, the inyan is dina yudua. It's known, Shekolin Yonim Shalamaila Tluim Babaydis Adam. Everything which happens above, everything which is there from Hashem, depend on the Avodah of a human being. How does a human being behave? That has an effect on the way that Hashem responds. Ki Midosu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he, what's the next word, Rachel? It's on line 24. Midah 23, line 23 to 24.
Midah keneged midah.
Yeah, do you know what that means? Midah keneged midah.
That if like someone does something, so like steals a car to them, Hashem takes away his car.
That's right. Midah keneged midah. Exactly right.
When Light's wife, so she did the thing with the salt, she looked back, then she became a pillar of salt.
That's right. And what was the thing that she did with salt, with gas?
She didn't want to bring them salt.
That's right. She came from the city of Sodom, and she was very mean. all the people in Sodom were very mean people, and she didn't like giving guests food. And Lot, who had been brought up in the household of Abram, who had seen how you have lots of guests and you always give a lot of nice things to the guests, she didn't like doing that. And so Lot would say, give salt to the guests, and she didn't want to give them salt. She would try and give them food without salt. So because of that, Ashtani says, Midah Kaneged Midah, because she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. Right, that's exactly right. So everything that happens from above depends on the avodah of people. Umizeb, because of Midah Kaneged Midah, Hashem responds to us the way that we behave towards Him. Umizembuvan, from this we can understand, Shainyan Dasavani Hashem Vashem Shoichoni, the idea that Hashem has forsaken us and Hashem has forgotten us, Nasim Itzadinyan, Hedezikoran, comes because of something in our avodah. We are the ones who forget. We are the ones who don't remember Oyashikha, we are the ones who forget Be'inyan avodah Eitzel Adam Lamata. That there's something in our avodah that we don't remember, or we forget, and that causes the equivalent, so to speak, from above. That causes the equivalent from above. Obeya in your last slide. Obeya in your explanation of this dinei head as it called, and what does it mean not remembering? Hainu she'enu misasik b'inyan avodas Hashem. Here we're on the next page, page Yud. Have you got it? Line 1 on page Yud. You got it? Yes. And have you got it? Yep. Lovely. The person doesn't, he's not involved in Yone Avodas Hashem. Sheina Zoicha. Veina Munuch bin Yone Elokos. He doesn't remember. Did you bench? I don't remember. Did you do this? I don't remember. It doesn't bother him, and because of that, he doesn't remember. Yes, you see this? The Rebbe said the Maimah in Yiddish. So then they translated it into Lashon Kodesh. But in Yiddish you'd say, that's not the way he's like really involved. However, even though the person doesn't use his energy for Torah mitzvahs, mikol mokom, nonetheless, gam einu mashkia oisum binyonim acherim, he doesn't put them into anything else which is a rival to Torah mitzvahs. He's like a forgetful person. He can't remember whether he benched, he can't remember whether he davened, or he forgot to daven, different things like that. But he's not actually putting his koch into something completely the opposite. So you can say that that's just the lack of remembering. But a lower madrega of that than that, who in a shichacha is real forgetting. He puts all his energy into something completely different, something completely the opposite. The Rebbe says in the brackets, it could begin off that it's something permitted, but from that thing which is permitted, he has such a big koch in it, and he's so excited and concerned and involved in the permitted thing, that eventually it comes to be something which is forbidden. The point being that the person's real koch has to be a koch in Torah mitzvahs. And when a person starts putting a tremendous, tremendous koch in something else, completely separate to Torah mitzvahs, that's what it means forgetting. That is what makes the person forget about Elokus. Now that's a very interesting thing. So there's a normal relationship with Hashem where a person, either he's very excited or he's a bit cool, like quiet and not so much involved. And so he sometimes forgets to do things, but he's not putting himself into something which is the opposite, or which is on a completely different track to godliness, to Elokus. Might not be something forbidden at this minute, but it's just another track. If the person starts putting all their energy and their chayas and what exciting and what they like and what they love and that's so good into something which is completely different to Torah mitzvahs, that's the extra effect of shechacha. Yeah. Who can suggest an example of something which is like another track, which might be a permitted thing, but it, eventually it's mishakeach, it makes the person really forget, not just not remember, but actually positively forget. Any suggestion? Any suggestion? You can't imagine. You can't imagine you're doing the same. All right. Dot, dot, dot. Yeah? Each person could have their own idea what it is in their life. And they could write down that dot, dot, dot for themselves. Yes? Is that so? Yes? Shani, you think? Okay. Right. So these things make an actual positive forgetting. So there is just not remembering is one thing, and then there's positive forgetting. But Proteus Yosef, and in even more details, as Rabbi Nalzen, that's, now we come back to the Samashkim, to the butler and Yosef. The point being, if you remember the story, that there was the butler and baker in prison together with Yosef. And they both had dreams, and they both looked very bad, very unhappy. And Yosef said, "Why are you looking unhappy?" They said, "We each had a very bad dream, and we don't know what it means." And Yosef said, "Tell me the dreams. Hashem can explain dreams." And Yosef was in touch with Hashem. So the butler told him his dream, and the effect of that dream, Yosef said, "You know what? That dream means that in 3 days' time, it's going to be Pharaoh's birthday. And he's going to be review all his staff, and he's going to remember that you are in prison, and he's going to set you free, and you're going to go back to being a butler." So the baker then told his dream to Yosef, and Yosef said, "Well, in your case, in 3 days' time, it's going to be the king's birthday, and what's going to happen is, he's going to say, off with his head. He's going to have the baker executed," and that's what happened. Now, Yosef then asked the butler, "Please remember when you get free, which is what's going to happen, please remember to tell Paro that I'm here in prison through no fault of my own." And it says that the butler, this was at the end of Parshas Vayeshev in the Chumash, it says that the butler did not remember Yosef and he forgot him. He did not remember Yosef and he forgot him. Is that the right page? Yeah. Yeah, this is the right page. So that's why the butler didn't remember Yosef and he forgotten Dehine and Yonoi. Now, this the fact that it's all about Yosef, that has to do with us. The Indian of Joseph is who am shochos elokos milamayla lamata. It's drawing down godliness from above to below. That's what Yosef is. Which sphere does Yosef represent in all the spheres? Which sphere does Avraham represent? Yes, kindness, and that's chesed, good. Which sphere does Yitzchak represent? Or which sphere represents Yitzchak? Well, what comes after kindness, after chesed? Gvura. Yes, Yitzchak's Gvura. And which does Yaakov represent? Tiferes. Yes, good. Now, which does Yosef represent, you know?
Netzach.
No, you. It sounds good, but it's not exactly. Yosef HaTzadik represents Sphiris HaYosoid. Yosoid, we usually translate something like dedication. Because Yosoid is drawing down Elokus from above to below. That's what Yosoid does, and that's the middah of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef bringing down from above to below. Uchmavoy b'makum mokum acher. As is explained elsewhere in another in the explanation. What's this sefer? Footnote 20. Have a look. What's footnote 20? Chanchi is going to tell us. It's very difficult. Biyureha
zoya.
Yes, biyureha zoya by la admo ha emtzoi by the Mittler Rebbe. V'yorei hazoya of the Mittler Rebbe, ula ha-tzemach tzedek, and also v'yorei hazoya of the Tzemach Tzedek, and a few other parts of the Chassidus as well. So it explains this point, that the inyan is, that Yosef's inyan is, to draw down Elokus into this world. One second. So the inyan of Yosef is to draw down Elokus from above to below. As explained on the Pasuk, Eile told us Yaakov Yosef, these are the generations of Yaakov Yosef. She Yosef hu hamamshech es kol inyan Yaakov. The generations of Yaakov are Yosef, because Yosef's role is to draw down all the aspects of Yaakov, which is the inwardness of Elokus, at the Mata Mata, down below in this world. And that's why it's written, V'Yosef hu amashvil uchol am aretz. Yosef gave grain, he gave produce to everyone who came to him from all over wanting to get food, because Yosef's role is to give, to supply everyone. Omnon keneged pulos shel Yosef amshachazu. Now, against Yosef in this flow and this process of bringing down Elokus into this world, so that's one middle, one aspect is bringing Elokus down into the world, which is the job of Yosef, the Sphere Yesoid. But there is Yesh Loisa Mashkim, there is the butler, Shehu Menaged Elam Shachazu, and he opposes this. In Chassidus it explains that the Sa Mashkim, this is like a negative, this is an aspect. There's Paroi, Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Paro, the word Paroi is the letters Ha'oiref, the back of the neck, and that's a big clipper, that's really the Mitzrayim, that's what traps. And one of the aspects of Paroi is the Sa Mashkim, the butler. He opposes this flow, the Inyonot Shel Sa Mashkim Hu Atainuk Shebeinyonei Olam Hazeh. The butler, the butler's whole role is to give wine. People drink wine not because they're thirsty, but because they want to enjoy something. And so there are all kinds of different fancy wines that people want to enjoy. And so because of this, the Sa Mashkim, he represents Tanuge Olam Hazeh, the enjoyments of this world. So that means, so this kind of joy, of delight in inyonim, in material things, which the Sa'ar Mashkin represents, that is the way in which he contradicts the pu'ula, the effect of Yosef, because what Yosef is trying to do is draw Elokus into the world, and the Sa'ar Mashkin is trying to prevent that, because he's trying to get people to get a tainuk, to get a delight in something completely separate from ruchnius. And so that's the way the Maimah continues. I think we'll have to stop now, but the Maimah continues to explain the whole idea of the way in which the tainuk, the delight of the person, goes in the wrong direction. And it's that tainuk, that delight going in the wrong direction into a materialist direction, that is what causes, that is what causes the forgetfulness above. So there's the fact, the absence, so to speak, of Hashem, the way which is, which responds to us not remembering Hashem. But then, just because we're not in an excitement about Yiddishkeit, so not being excited about Yiddishkeit is one problem. And a second problem is being very excited about something materialistic, which is the opposite. And even if it's permitted, but it's being excited about something which is on another track altogether. That's the Sa'ar Mashkin, that's the butler, whose role is serving wine, and in that way making people not only to be, as it were, absent-minded about Hashem, but actually to forget all about Hashem. However, the real purpose is that ultimately there will be the whole purpose of this golus and of these different kinds of concealment is in order that we should come closer and closer to Hashem, and that even this fourth malchus, this fourth level of kingdom, which is the kingdom of Rome, will be transformed, and then there will be a tremendous excitement. If you look now at the very end of the Maimah, let's see if we can find the very end of the Maimah over here. See if you can find it. Oops. We're on the very last page. And we're going to look. Have you got the very last page? Page Tes Zayin. Have you got it, Donna? Let me have a look. So we want page test sign. Let's just make it a bit smaller. Can we make it smaller? Yeah. Make it 100. Oh. What's this? On 200. Right. So look at line 2. Ve'ini mezeh. The thing is as follows. See, what it explains before is that Yaakov Avinu had the dream of the ladder, and he saw each of the malachim going up the ladder. So there are many different perushim on that, many different explanations. One of the explanations is that each angel going up the ladder was an angel of another kingdom. So he saw the angel of Babylon going up 70 steps, because the rule of Babylon was 70 years. And then he saw the rule of Madai, of the Medes, going up a further, another number of steps. And then he saw the Greeks going up a number of steps. And then he saw the Romans, the Malach, the angel representing the Romans, going up higher and higher and higher, and it didn't seem to be stopping at all. And he was very shocked at this. So the end of the Maimer explains, Ve'inyan b'zeh, what this is about, this is line 2 on the last page, page Tesayin. The Inyan is, the Gimel HaMalchios, Bobel Modai Yavon, these three kingdoms of Babylon, the Medes and the Greeks, Pobahem Yaakov Inyan Abeiro, Jacob himself was able to be Mavaradem. He was able to sift them, to transform them. Omnam b'malchus ravias edoim, but in the fourth kingdom, which is the kingdom of Rome, loy po'al inyan abiro, he didn't manage to succeed to transform them. Lafisha klipazu kosher mikulam, because this is a very powerful force of concealment of Hashem. And that means that the three clippers of the first three kinds of kingdom, those three kinds of concealment, are only in the revealed koichas of the person. That the revealed aspect of the person is in galus, is in exile. But not in the inner dimension. Bavua literally means a shadow. And there's a whole profound explanation what exactly this means. But it's the shadow, it's like a kind of an aura of the person is being affected. But Masha'enken Malchus Ravias, the fourth kingdom that we're in now, which affects even the aura, so to speak, of the person. Like, that means like the deepest levels of the person, because that the very deepest dimension of our desire, our yearning, our ideals, our ideology, we invested into something which is the opposite of Yiddishkeit. Because now we live in a very subtle epoch, when people are idealists about this and about that, and very often this idealism can be something which is actually working in a very negative way. And so it's the most subtle and refined and profound spiritual qualities of the person, what is called hibavua, the aura, like a kind of a spiritual shadow of the person, and that is being invested into something which is not Torah mitzvah. And in order to transform this final klipah, that's happening in this final golus, and that's why it's so difficult. That's why we have the double idea of Hashem forsaking us and Hashem forgetting us. Because on account of the tremendous concealment, there is an arousal of the very essence of the koichos, the essence of the forces which are within the person, which are in the neshama, above all the revealed forces, And through arousing them, this is the avodah that we have, this is the service that we have in this Golus, is to arouse people's deepest spiritual dimension so that that transforms the deepest qualities within their heart and their soul, and so that even this very problematic aspect of the modern world, which tries to draw us into false ideologies, that is transformed in such a way that we are able to direct them in a proper way towards Hashem, His Torah, mitzvahs, and in order to refining the whole world and making the whole world a dwelling for Hashem. And through this, there will be an aliyah for all these different dimensions, in such a way that when the Sitra Achra is quelled below, then the glory of Hashem is revealed in all the worlds, and that will be with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu.